Page, the director of Into the Wind, which is having its, I believe, its premiere at World Fest. Is that true, Chris? Hi, Chris,
they're
by the way. Welcome.
We're actually having a Texas premiere. We actually world premiered the movie in February at a Santa Barbara International Film Festival.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Now, you know, I was up at that festival, and
yes,
we did not run into each other. How many days were you at the Santa Barbara Film Festival?
We went ahead and really took advantage of being there. We were there for the whole festival. Actually got in a day before because we were out hitting the streets and hanging posters and showing anybody that would look at the trailer on the video iPod. And
right.
We're there the whole time and, you know, promoted. We saw just a very few films. We had a great time. I got a little bit of flying in, and we also took our motorcycles and enjoyed some of the mountain roads out there, too.
Oh, I actually did a little, we went out of town and went up to Los Olivos ourselves. Did you go up in that direction, or where did you go?
Yeah. It was all really nice through the wine country and all that. It was awesome.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. You didn't motorcycle all the way to Santa Barbara, did you?
No, we actually, because I took my flying gear and all that, we loaded up a big old trailer and we had all kinds of stuff with it.
Okay, great. All right, Chris, now, just, you know, from a boilerplate point of view, what your film is, to me anyway, it's a window into a world that I didn't even know it really existed, which is basically the world of powered paragliding, which is basically a rig on the back of someone's, you have a pack that weighs about 45 pounds or so. It's a big fan with a kind of a motor. It's a little bit stronger than not quite outboard motor, but it's like, what's the equivalent?
It's kind of like a go-kart motor, a two-stroke go-kart motor.
Right.
My pack actually weighs about 75 pounds.
Right.
It's a little bit heavier because of the power it's got, 26 horsepower,
right.
172 cc's.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've come a long way since the beginnings when they pulled a kind of a gas-powered engine off of a kind of a leaf blower over in Europe
right.
and started, you know, trying to figure out how to do this.
Yeah. Anyway, so what it is basically just an experience piece. It's I mean, you don't. It's not really a. You know, it doesn't have the coherence of an idea or a theme movie. But what it is just an honest look at what this thing is, and for me, I'd never done it before. So I feel like now, having seen your film, which I'm really glad I did, Into the Wind just sort of took me into that world, and I learned a lot about it, and that's why I liked it, you know, because it really is a real thing, you know.
Excellent, man. Our goal for the film was to we didn't want to be pigeonholed into only PPG, you know, power paragliding pilots wanting to enjoy the film. We wanted to broaden that a little bit,
right.
So we're like, okay, we want to take you inside and not make it too instructional, but, you know, see how much fun it is and take you with us on a kind of a fun journey, also introduce you to the sport through these two new pilots that learn how to fly,
yeah.
And, you know, travel to these exotic locations that most people, you know, may not get to see.
Right.
Get to see it from the air, too, so that's pretty cool.
Now, how many people, now your film concentrates on yourself plus a couple of beginners, one whose name is Camlin Brucker, who's married to a guy who's also a powered paraglider. I forget his first name, but
His name's Ken.
Okay. And there's also there's an instructor named Andy McAvin, who's
been around for a long time in the sport, certified
right.
instructor and dealer, real good guy.
And he is located, as you said, in Houston, and he has a, can you give us the address and where he's located roughly?
His website address is U, as in the letter U,
right.
Fly, F-L-Y, and the numeral 2, so it's ufly2.com.
Right. And he's been at this, how long has powered paragliding been enough of a sport for it to be, you know, a business for him, and how long has it been a, you know, kind of a verifiable thing that a lot of people are into? I mean,
the beginnings go back to Europe, and they say about mid-80s, and took off, and then some of the paragliders from America were over there checking it out and brought it back over here, so it's pretty young still. Andy's been in the sport about 8.5 years, I think, and, you know, he's taught hundreds of people to fly, not only here, but people sometimes will pay him to come to other countries and bring stuff over there to fly and learn how to do this. So that's
okay.
A pretty cool job.
All right.
That's pretty cool. He was in, somewhere down in the Caribbean not long ago doing something like that. So that's pretty neat stuff. And they say there's about 5,000 pilots right now, roughly, in the United States, and those numbers are growing all the time.
Now, has anyone, any municipality or organization thought to issue licenses so that people can do this in a legal fashion, or is it not regulated?
Well, it is regulated by the FAA. We fly under the rules, under a rule called FAR 103, which is ultralight, and we have rules like you can only fly, you know, single person. You can't take another person up without, you know, getting a license. You can only carry up to 5 gallons of fuel, and there's all kinds of little regulations that we have to follow. But it does not require a license to fly the, you know, the single seaters like we do in the movie.
Okay. All right. So, obviously you love doing this, and obviously the people that you hang with love doing it. Now, why did you decide to make a doc, other than the fact that it's fun for people like me to watch? I mean, what was the idea? Do you want to see it end up on television or theaters? What's the plan?
Well, we started the idea. I've got a big background in television, and I've produced and directed shows in the private industry and also for television. And I was just kind of ready. I always knew I wanted to do a full-feature movie. Started flying and taking the camera up after 6 months or so and doing these little short movies with music, and everybody's like, man, that's really cool. And I was like, all right, this is my endless summer, so to say. You know, I thought it was an emerging sport. It's really cool, good visuals, and I was at that point, I was ready to make a feature, so it all kind of clicked. I started a business and a corporation. I got attracted some investors. We've got investors for about half the budget of the movie. My wife and I contributed the other half.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wanted in our business plan to go out there and try and get theatrical release. So we've been shopping it around to distributors, and we're looking for a deal, whether that's theatrical, DVD, TV, or whatever we can get.
Right. Okay. All right. Have you changed it at all? Have, you know, every filmmaker from Jim Cameron and Steven Spielberg all on down are always refining. They're always getting input. Has anything happened? I mean, is this the final version? Are you going to add anything? Are you going to trim anything? What's the thing on that?
Good question. I actually did some focus group screenings during the edit process, and the first rough cut was just for a group of 10 or 12 people. We got some great feedback. Then we did another one for about 20 people, and then we did a really big focus group with invitation-only people in a real theater on about the third, you know, rough cut, which was pretty tight, and got everybody to fill out a questionnaire, and we made our final decisions off of that at the end of this year before we went to Santa Barbara. We feel that the movie's pretty much, you know, in its final form right now.
Right.
Unless we were offered a TV deal and they really wanted to go to a TV format of an hour or something like that, where we'd have to cut it down some, then we may go in and re-edit. But we think it's in its final format for the DVD release right now.
No, I'd say, if I were a distributor, I would say, I think you made an analogy. It kind of reminds me of the early surfing movies, because it's just an honesty, a kind of a, this is just us, this is just what we love. I wouldn't want to make it too slick if anybody wanted to change that on you. I mean, I like the honesty, the personalities, you kind of get to know people. I just like the simplicity of it. Kind of nice.
And that is such a great compliment, because during the whole process of this whole thing, we get stuck at certain points, especially in the edit and writing some of the dialogue and stuff for the narrator, and we go, what would Bruce Brown say, man? doing those surf movies, Endless Summer and On Any Sunday. I was like, all right, what would Bruce Brown say right here? Or Warren Miller's another great example,
right,
with the ski, snow skiing movies. We tried to keep it to that feel. So
yeah,
when people say that about it, I'm like, okay, we succeeded, and that's exactly the feel we wanted.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So I was just reading this review that came out in the Houston Chronicle. And the reviewer said that the movie would be a bit more effective to non-flyers if a little more information on how the flying is actually done were provided. And I was just wondering, now, I was looking at that one of those guys being taught, and I kind of figured it out what was going on a little bit. I mean,
Yeah, I was, you know, don't get me wrong, any press I think is good press, and we got a great article and a picture in the paper today, but yeah. I was a little disappointed with that, because, yeah, you do, we follow Ken Reeder, the new guy, from day one all the way through, and see his struggles and how he learns how to fly, so I didn't understand that quite, but, you know, we'll take what we can get.
Now, he was, and of course, we see everybody make their little mistakes, so, you know, you kind of pick up on it bit by bit as to how it all works, and you know, you see the vantage point, obviously, of the person up high, and I was looking, by the way, on Wikipedia, and I saw that the very highest ascendancy, I believe, was something like, I mean, really, somebody went way, way up there. I mean,
yeah,
what's
like
the highest you've ever heard of?
200 feet or something like that.
Say again?
19,200 feet over in Europe.
Well, at what point do you need oxygen?
Well, usually at about 14,000 feet you need oxygen, unless you really train for it. Like those guys that climb Everest is without oxygen. They get up there and they stay and get climatized and train for that. So I think that's what this guy might have done, because he did not have oxygen when he did that.
Man, because I've been in the, you know, certain areas of the Rockies, and you can feel the thinness of the air at, you know, 11,000, 12,000.
Oh yeah, for sure. When we, you know, parts of the movie that we were up here in the Colorado, taking off at 9,000 feet, we had to run a ways. Us guys from the, you know, we live in Houston at sea level. That was a big deal, man. We could finally get off the ground, and I'm just going, oh man, if I didn't get off the ground right about then, I'd have had to quit.
Yeah, yeah. Even when I go to Park City at the Sundance Film Festival, just for that first day, you can feel it. You know, you're more winded than you are normally from just doing the usual things. It just, you know, so it's a very, but I'm amazed that people went, and I love there's some early footage in your film of a couple of people above the cloud layer somewhere, which I thought was really amazing.
Yeah, everybody sees that and goes like, man, how high were you guys?
Yeah.
But that was myself, I was part of that flight, that scene, and it was really cool, and we actually shot that part in Mexico, because according to FAR 103, the FAA, you can't fly up through the clouds here in the States.
Right.
But if you fly through a hole in the clouds and all that, it's legal. You know, there's certain ways to do it. But that day was spectacular. We don't get many days like that where we can do that. And for us to capture that on film was really neat. And we put it on early on in the film just to get everybody's attention, you know.
Now, is it part of the deal that you carry a chute with you just in case the worst happens? Is that part of the regulation way of doing it, or?
Well, you don't have to. Some guys do. Guys and gals carry a reserve. The way we fly most of the time, unless you're pretty advanced and you're doing, you know, tricks and maneuvers where it's kind of dangerous, if you're just boating around and you're flying in good weather, which that's what we're taught, flying early in the day before it heats up and gets thermally, or late in the day, really won't get into any situation where you're going to need it. But if you start flying in a little more aggressive manner during the day of thermally weather, where you're going to get bumped around or you're doing acrobatics and that kind of thing, yeah, you want to have a reserve just in case.
Right, yeah. Is powered paragliding more popular in your neck of the woods in Texas and that area than it is... I don't know, in other parts of the country? Is there any...
I don't know. I think we've got a good, strong group here. I just want a local club that's not really too organized. It's kind of loosely based, called the Texas Wing Nuts. And
okay.
I think there's probably 60 or 70 pilots in this area. So, yeah, we have a pretty good group. And one thing that allows us to have a great area is we're on the coast. And I talked about those thermals and winds coming up. If you're flying at the beach, right at the water's edge, you get a laminar, steady wind all day long where you can fly all day. Whereas the people that live inland, they really have to fly in the morning or the evening, you know, to get the good air.
Right. Okay. All right. Has anybody ever made a film at all that you're aware of about this? Are you the first guy to try to make a doc, or has anyone else taken a stab?
Well, I think that this type of film, entire paragliding, as far as we know, I'm the only one that's done it like this. There's other power paragliding videos out there and DVDs, some instructional, mm-hmm. and some, you know, but none that are this level that really went after a documentary and showing the sport and just kind of really going for a full feature documentary type film. We haven't found anything else like it out there.
Now, when we spoke earlier on the phone, you mentioned to me that apart from the weight factor, which you know, you have to be in shape to handle the device on your back that powers the propeller and everything. That there, it's kind of a noisy thing up there.
Right. It's a two-stroke engine. We do have a whole lot better muffler system on them nowadays than they used to. They used to be really loud.
Okay.
But that engine is right on your back, and you know, when you're in flight at full throttle, it's pretty loud because it's right up next to you. So I use in-the-ear earplug speakers, and I've got the iPod set on random play, just, you know, with tunes, and then I actually wear headphones over the top of that.
Oh, that's nice.
So I don't really hear it too bad.
Right.
And I've got the music going, which just adds a whole other dimension to the enjoyability of the sport.
Now, I was just thinking, with the electric cars out there, I wonder if one day there'll be electric motors, you know?
No, somebody is working on that. Andy was just telling me that he talked to a guy just a month or two ago that has been working on that. And of course, the thing it is the batteries. You know, trying to figure out how to make the batteries light enough to carry up and carry around. But yeah, that's in the works.
Hmm. Okay. Huh. Well, anyway, it was I'm really glad I saw it, I think you I really admire the enthusiasm and the love that you guys feel for it, because it's not just about you know, sort of. I mean there is really a link here to the original aviation dreamers of the late 1800s and the ones who tried this and that, and it's really, it's something transporting about you guys having your own you know, your own thing in which you're really tasting the wonders of the heavens the way God's animals, the way God's winged creatures do. It's really something when you think about it.
Yeah, man, but you hit the nail on the head there. We really have a good camaraderie between pilots. You know, people from all walks of life do this that are my friends. You know, anybody from, I got buddies that are roofers and doctors and lawyers and just everyday Joes, and I'm a computer consultant by trade that pays the bills these days. But everybody's got that common bond of flying and loving it, and we all, you know, have a great time together, so... And it's like I said in the movie, too, it's like I like to hang out with people who aren't complaining. These guys want to have fun and go out and do good, you know, fun stuff. And those are the guys I want to hang out with.
Right.
Good stuff.
Who complains? Complains about what?
Well, you know, a lot of people sit around and complain about life in general. And those are usually not the kind of people that are going out doing this kind of sport or, you know, I motorcycle a lot, too. And the guys I hang out with that do the motorcycling are not the guys that are sitting around and complaining about what's wrong, you know?
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, how many times, by the way, is it going to be shown? I mean, I know you're showing it later today, but is that it, just that one screening?
Yeah, World Fest has, you know, they screen digital and they screen 35mm, and they only have one digital theater, so we are showing in digital, and because of that, they have limited capability of showing during the festival. So this is our swan song today at 5 o'clock. We thought we had a pretty good slot. It's a Saturday at 5 o'clock, and we promoted it well. I think we're going to have a full house, and for World Fest, that'll be it. We've got some other festivals, I think, coming up. We haven't heard back from yet, and. We're, you know, hopefully we're going to get some kind of deal, and this thing will be available, whether it goes TV or DVD or whatever, pretty soon.
Yeah, that was, I was going to say, it would be nice to see that it does become available, because obviously by the time I get around to writing about it, which I guess I'll try and put something out by Monday, but I hope some people take some interest in it, because it would be nice to have it available for those that have an interest in. You know, I was just thinking that particularly if I were you know, younger and in my teens, I would want to do this immediately. I mean, what is the age where someone is considered old enough to do this? How old do you have to be?
It's kind of a gray area. I don't think there's a specific rule. I met a guy, one of the kids in the movie was 14, and he started when he was 13, and his little brother was just starting to learn, and he's 11, and that was last year. So that's the youngest I've seen. And then I've met guys that were in their late into their 70s that do this too.
Okay. Well, that's great. The people in the 70s. That's very, very cool.
Yeah, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, man. I hope you have a good screening tonight, and my best wishes to you. And again, congratulations on your film.
Well, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to do the interview and appreciate the coverage.
Yeah. Nice work. Okay.
Okay, man. Have a great day.
Be well.
Thanks.
Bye.